This is session number 11 of the Gospel according to John. Last time we finished verse 18, John chapter 1, so we finished the introduction, and now we are going to begin the narrative of the Gospel according to John. This is section 2, and we are going to look at John's ministry, and we'll see how far we get in this session. But we're going to pick it up in verse 19. And like I said, moving forward, we're not going to go as deep as we went in the first part. So hopefully we will pick up the pace, cover some more ground. But I will try to continue to give relevant and hopefully good analysis to the text as we go through. Again, remember, as we're reading through the scriptures, it's important before you try to interpret it, read it for what it says, believe it for what it says. We ask God to teach us, to show us what he's trying to show us so that we can have the understanding and the faith that he would have us to have. So we're going to look at verse 19 through 28 right now, and this is the record of John the Baptist. And this is the record of John the Baptist in response to the priests and the Levites questioning John. So verse 19, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Okay, let's try to break it down just a little bit. So the priests and the Levites are sent to ask John, "Who are you?" They're sent to find out what's going on with John. Just understand this really happened, and understand this will happen in your life if you are a man of God, if you are doing the work of God. There are going to be people who are going to come that don't want to really hear what you're teaching. They don't really want to believe what you're saying. They're just going to come to check you out and try to put a label on you and try to fit you into a box so that they can feel good about themselves and explain away what you're doing. I hope what I just said makes sense. Just understand, not everybody who comes out to see what's going on, not everybody who comes out to the church, not everybody who comes out to hear the preaching has a pure, genuine heart that's seeking to know the Lord and love the Lord. And one of the things we have to be able to do as ministers is we have to be able to read people and tell what kind of spirit they have. See, these people didn't come out and go, "Whoa, John, this preaching is amazing. God is moving through you. Who are you? How did you get so filled with the power of God? How did you get so filled with his spirit?" That's not what they're coming out. They're coming out jaded with the evil eye, eyeing him, trying to find fault, trying to put a label on him so they can explain him away back in their little comfortable circles. And so they come out and they say, "Who are you? Who are you? Who do you think you are?" That's kind of the spirit they come with. Now, notice John's response, and I love this. Pay attention to how John answers them. Let's learn a little wisdom. John doesn't go into a big explanation of his calling. He doesn't go into a big explanation of his ministry. He doesn't expound to them all the things that God has shown him. He's very short. He's very brief. And he kind of answers their questions, but also kind of doesn't. And we got to have the same kind of wisdom when we're dealing with these sort of people. We can't let them lead us around in circles. We can't feel like we have to answer to them and open everything up. No, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. So they ask, who are you? Notice John's response. He doesn't explain who he is. He first just says who he's not, because he knows what they're thinking. He goes, I'm not the Christ. And they say, well, then are you Elias? I'm not. Are you that prophet? No. See, very brief, very to the point. He's not really elaborating. He's not interested in conversing with these people. He's interested in pouring his ministry and his heart and his life into people who really want to know the Lord and want to obey the Lord, not sit around and debate with a bunch of people who would love to just sit around and debate. He's not trying to please people that can't be pleased. And so then they say, well, then, who are you? So that we can give an answer to them that sent us. See, they were even honest. We need to put you in a box. We need to give them a label. And what does John say? He says, I'm the voice. I'm the voice. We saw that already. John is the voice. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. See, John was the fulfillment of Isaiah 40, verse 3. John, very simple answer, doesn't explain himself, just gives a simple answer of what his calling is and the scripture that proves what he is doing. Now, that scripture was a literal prophecy for John the Baptist and his ministry. And it's an awesome scripture, and it's really cool because Isaiah 40, verse 3, that's where that scripture is. And what's interesting is the 40th book of the Bible is Matthew. And if you go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, remember Isaiah 40, verse 3, Isaiah 66 chapters, you go to the 40th chapter, verse 3. Well, the Bible has 66 books. If you go to the 40th book, Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, you see the exact same scripture being fulfilled that was prophesied back in Isaiah. That's just the Bible for you. But often, as men who are in the ministry, as men who have been called of God, often God will use some scriptures to really like burn in our heart what we are really supposed to do. And I believe God did this with John as he was reading through the scriptures. And when he came to that scripture, God's spirit just said, that's you. That's you. Go do it. And John just went in power and authority and just did exactly what God called him to do. And I feel like the Lord does the same thing with us. Now, I know there's a difference in that that scripture literally was primarily focusing and pointing towards John the Baptist. I don't know if there's any scripture in the Bible that is literally and primarily focusing to one of us here in 2019. I don't think so. But remember, this is the eternal Word of God, and he's not the God of the past. He's not like the I was or the I has been. And he's not just the God of the future of like, I'm the God of the kingdom in the future, and one day everything will be good and I'll work again. No, he's the I am. He's working right now. And so there are scriptures that God has put in my heart as I've come across these scriptures, and he's just burned those in my heart and said, that's what I want you to do, Adam. You just go do that. You be that for the body of Christ. One of the scriptures he's given me is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5 is that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And he's just burned that in my heart. And that's just part of my calling, is to just, when I preach the gospel, when I preach the word of God, when I teach the word of God, that my faith is not in man's wisdom and what man taught me. My faith is in what God has revealed to me from his word, because his word is his power. And as I preach, I want others that their faith would not stand in the wisdom of men. I don't want them to believe these things because I came up with a crafty sermon and I crafted it perfectly with 4 points in a poem and I played on their emotions. No, God just shows me truth and I just preach truth and I just open up the Word of God and I want people to see the power of God that's contained in the Scriptures, because the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? And so God's put that Word in my heart, so then that's how I want you to preach. That's how I want you to do it. And so it's just interesting how John, he knew what his calling was, and God had used the Scriptures to confirm his calling. And man, we need to have the same thing. Our calling better not be because we went to the seminary and this is the profession that we've chosen. And God better have called us to what we're doing. And we better know what our calling is. And God will use his word to confirm it. He will use a scripture or some scriptures to confirm what he's really called you to do in the body of Christ. What your role is and what your mission is. Another one for me is Romans 15:16. I mean, he's just confirmed it. That, man, I'm not just supposed to just do the Romans road, but I'm supposed to preach the gospel of God. I'm supposed to teach the gospel of God to the Gentiles, the people who are so unacceptable to God, but that through that gospel, through unveiling who God is and unveiling who Jesus Christ is, and that by the work of the Holy Ghost, the sanctification of the Holy Ghost, that these Gentiles can be an acceptable offering to the Father one day. Amen. I mean, with Gentiles, all of us, all cultures and backgrounds are just so unacceptable to God in our nature. But that through the gospel of God and through the Holy Ghost, we can be made acceptable. We can be acceptable to Him. And so John had, he knew his calling, and God had given him a scripture to confirm that calling. We should be the same way. And then after this, it says, verse 24, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. It's just expounding for us. Okay, we understand the Pharisees. Now remember, the Pharisees in theory were the Bible believers of their day. They were the ones who really believed the Old Testament. They believed the actual letter of the Word. They didn't try to say, no, there's no spirit realm. No, the creation's not really true. God didn't actually create in 6 days. No, they believed the Bible. But the problem was they were just deceiving themselves, like James talked about. You know, they had Bible schools and they had Bible studies and they had churches and they studied the Bible and heard the Bible and thought they believed it, but they didn't really know the power of God. They had denied that power. So they knew the Scriptures and they had a form of godliness, but there was something wrong with their hearts. I don't know if it was pride. I don't know if it was fear of man. I don't know if it was trusting in man. I think it's kind of all those things. As we go through the rest of this book of John, you're going to see all of those things are major issues in the Pharisees' hearts. And there were things that were hindering them from actually knowing the true God and really having his love dwell in them. And so anyways, so then in verse 25, and so then they asked him, well, then why do you baptize? If you're not Christ, if you're not Elijah, and if you're not that prophet, by the way, that prophet they're talking about is the prophet from Deuteronomy chapter 18. And you can read that and study that. That's the prophet that was promised that God would raise up, the one that would be greater than Moses. He'd be like Moses, but even greater than Moses. And obviously that's true. We saw that John chapter 1 verse 17. Jesus Christ greater than Moses. They say, if you're not him, then why are you baptizing? Why are you doing what you're doing? You know, why are you preaching on the streets? Why are you passing out gospel literature? Why are you starting a church that's not like all the other churches that we've seen, that we've been part of? How come you're not doing the things that we do? How come you didn't go to our seminary with us? Why are you doing this? And they will. They'll question your ministry. They won't just question you as a man of God, but they'll question your ministry. That's what they did to John. And I love how John answers them. He doesn't go into a deep explanation about his ministry and why he does what he does. In fact, he doesn't really even answer their question, and yet he does in a very subtle way that they're not going to understand. So He doesn't really answer the why. He just reestablishes what he's doing, and then he points them to Christ. And in a sense, he is answering their question, as we'll see later, because John the Apostle, who was a disciple of John the Baptist, and he was a smart disciple who, when Jesus came, he left John and followed Jesus. But John the Apostle knew John the Baptist's record. And John the Apostle understood. And so he's going to explain why John baptized in water. But John doesn't really explain it to these guys. They go, why do you baptize? So what does John say, verse 26? He says, I baptize with water. Why do you baptize? He doesn't explain it. He just tells them what he does. I baptize with water. Okay? So he quickly tells them what he does, but then he gets to what matters. And he goes, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. Many wants to remind him, you don't know him. Remember, he was in the world, and the world knew him not. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. I love his response. Amen. We need to learn some wisdom from this man. He didn't feel like he had to explain himself to a bunch of Pharisees, to a bunch of people who were just there to debate, there to put a label on him. He didn't really waste much time with them. Now, he wasn't a complete rude jerk in that he ignored them, because who knows? There might be some among them who were genuinely seeking. So he gives them a little bit, but he doesn't give them much. He throws a little bit out there. And if there's any that are genuine and want to continue to follow up, I'm sure he would have been happy to begin to open some things up. But he reads them, and for the most part, he knows they're not interested. So what does he do? He doesn't explain himself. He just states what he's doing. And then he points them back to the one that they need to be prepared for. And he makes it very clear that this ministry isn't about him. Who are you? I'm not the Christ. Why are you baptizing? I baptize with water, but there's one coming after me. There's one among you whom ye know not. He's greater than I am. I'm not even worthy to get down on my knees, on my hands and my knees, and unloose his sandals. I'm not even worthy to touch his sandals, let alone, you know, walk side by side with him. I mean, John really understood who the Christ was. In Psalm chapter 2, when it's revealed who the Christ was, who the anointed of the Father was, that he is the one that the Father chose, the one that the Father has set on the holy hill of Zion, that he is the King that the Father has anointed. He is the anointed, it means the Christ. He's the Christ, and that he is the very Son of God himself, and that the Father said, you ask me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. I'll give you the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession, and you'll dash him in pieces with a rod of iron. You'll crush all your enemies. And then he says, listen, you better serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. You better kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And John understood the Christ is the almighty, all-powerful King, anointed of the Father to rule the entire earth with a rod of iron and crush all his enemies. And the only hope that people have is to come before him with fear and trembling and kiss. When it says kiss the Son, it doesn't mean walk up to him and give him a kiss on the cheek. It means you come on your hands and knees and you kiss the feet of the Son. You kiss his feet, and you better pray that he's not angry with you, because man, when his wrath is kindled but a little, he'll crush you. John the Baptist understood this is the one who's coming. I'm not even worthy to go up and take off his sandals. I just come and just try and kiss his feet and just pray that he's not angry with me. That's the Christ. That's the anointed one. John understood that. And John pointed him back to it. And these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And so that's the record of John to the Pharisees and to the scribes and to the chief priests. Okay? In verse 29 through verse 34, we're going to see the record of John to his disciples, to the ones who were close to him. And we're going to see the record is quite different. He's going to open some amazing things up. He's going to open some wonderful things up, some key things to understand. Well, we understand John was sent to be a voice and he was sent to point to Jesus, but why was he baptizing with water? What was the point of that? Who is Jesus? So he's the Christ, he's the King to come, but also there's something else about this Christ. And John had a deeper revelation and understanding of who this Christ was. And so what's neat is that when the Pharisees and the guys who got all the questions, but they just want to question you and they just want to put a label on you, when they come, he answers them, but it's not really the answers they're looking for. But in the next few verses, you're going to see that those answers are given, and they're given to his disciples, which is why John the Apostle has this record, because he was one of John's disciples. And so all I'm saying is, there's nothing wrong with asking God questions. There's nothing wrong with having questions and trying to understand why, or who are you, or why are you doing this, or what's the purpose of this? There's nothing wrong with that. I ask God those questions all the time. But see, it all depends on what is the heart that you're coming with. See, those Pharisees and those priests, they were coming with the wrong heart. They had already determined, we're not going to believe. We're not going to obey. We're not going to walk in this. We're too worried about what everybody else thinks. And we already have our little circle, and we're comfortable with our circle, and we don't want it to cost us too much. See, they had already determined what they were going to do. And so guess what? They got a little bit of truth, but they really didn't get what they were looking for. But see, when we come humbly like a disciple, and our heart is, we want to know who the Lord is, and we want to understand what he's doing so we can be in on his plan, and so we can help others to understand, and we can strengthen people and encourage people, and we can fulfill the will of God by his grace. When we're like John the Apostle was, well then, those questions will get answered, and we will understand. And so we'll see next time the record of John the Baptist to his disciples. Amen and amen.